You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is Lakers Talk.
After 27 points and 25 boards from AD last night, the Lakers closed out the six-game homestand with a victory.
Another basket for AD and a foul. This is one of the best games I've ever seen him play.
You know, we're confident in our group. You know, we know that we can line up against anybody and beat them if we play the right way.
The purple and gold gear up for a big road win in Sacktown on Wednesday night, and we'll be riding high after the big win.
Reeves for three. It's good. And the Lakers are just putting on a show now. They look like the Globetrotters.
Lakers Talk is presented by Hoag Orthopedic Institute. When pain keeps you from doing what you love, Hoag Orthopedic Institute gets you back to you. Proudly founded by premier physicians in partnership with Hoag. Visit HoagOrthopedicInstitute.com to get the help you need today. A new edition of Lakers Talk starts right now.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. What are we, March 11th? We're about a month away from the NBA playoffs. Of course, Lakers got some work to do to solidify their position and everything else. We still got a long way to go, but only 4 weeks left. Appreciate you guys hanging out here. We got a jam-packed show. I got to be honest with you. I was taking some notes here. Funches and I were exchanging ideas back and forth. I'm like, I can't get this all in an hour. Talk about the first time the Lakers have been six games over 500 since the 2020-2021 season. How about just the past week alone? Some of the ups, some of the downs. I think Sedano, what he said right there, and I know a lot of people are high on the Lakers right now because they are winning some games. They're still all over the place, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean that we can't feel optimistic about where they are. AD last night, incredible. Anthony Davis also turned 31 today. What do we think of AD and the future of Anthony Davis with the Los Angeles Lakers? He's in the heart of his prime right now, and this year has been, you know, certainly his best year as a Los Angeles Laker and everything that he's done from that perspective. D'Lo balling out. The West is all over the place. I saw some great quotes from both Austin Reeves and Anthony Davis about what they think of the Western Conference and the NBA standing. So we're going to jam everything in. Om Yongmasuk, who covers the NBA for ESPN, is going to join us at 7:30. Let's start with this. I think the six games over 500 was, you know, believe it or not, I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I'm also not trying to be, I'm as best as I can possibly describe this team, six games over 500 really actually does feel like a big deal. 36-30, so they had a couple different times this year they had a chance to go six games over 500. One was after the in-season tournament. They beat the Indiana Pacers, but that doesn't count towards your regular season, so they were 14-9 before they started struggling after that. They had a couple opportunities over the last week or so to get six games over 500. That didn't happen. But with a win last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Lakers now six games over 500. And I know it's not always perfect. Some games that I don't expect them to win, they end up winning. Some games I think it's going to be a blowout. It's not even going to be close. They struggle. I'm still trying to kind of wrap my head around the Lakers, but I think the thing to pay most attention to is they're 11-5 since February 1st. They're in the mix with some of these teams in front of them, and I'm talking about the Phoenix Suns, the Dallas Mavericks, the Sacramento Kings. Go take a look at the Golden State Warriors. By the way, I didn't get much help today. I was kind of keeping an eye out on some of the scores around the NBA. And a few of these games just came to a final, or it just looks like it's going to be a final. So Dallas is up 123-88 on Chicago. So Chicago's already helped the Lakers enough this last week or so. Who they beat? Chicago already took care of Sacramento and the Warriors for the Lakers earlier this week, but it ain't happening against Dallas. Dallas about to wrap that one up. Warriors are also up on the Spurs. So, but the point is that the Lakers are still in the mix. They're still in the mix with all these other teams. And it's not like they're completely shut out. It's not like it's over. And that's only because they've been 11-5 since February 1st. Do you know which game was February 1st? I think it's easy to obviously forget because you got 82 games grind of a season. But where the Lakers actually started turning things around came at the most awkward time of the year. It's when they lost on the road to Houston, and then they lost on the road to the Atlanta Hawks, and then there was a lot of questions about, man, does Darvin Ham still have this locker room? And then the Lakers make an announcement that LeBron and Anthony Davis are both not going to play in Boston against arguably the best team in the NBA, certainly in the Eastern Conference. And that's where it turned around. It turned around in Boston. If you guys remember, they followed that up with a win at New York. Here are some of the teams that they've beat since February 1st. So something just to keep in mind. I know it doesn't tell the entire story, but I do feel like it tells part of a story. Here are some of the teams that the Lakers have W's against since February 1st. Boston, New York, New Orleans, Clippers, OKC, Milwaukee, and Minnesota. I'm very, very well aware that you can look into more of the details here and you could say, Al, Minnesota didn't have Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert. You're not wrong there. You're 100% wrong. You're 100% not wrong, but Lakers also didn't have LeBron against Milwaukee and they got that W. Not all these wins are perfect and they're not supposed to be. In a grind of 82 games, I don't think it's always going to be perfect, and it hasn't been for the Lakers, but they still have got to a point of the season where, like I said, there's a month left in the regular season. I think their final regular season game, I want to double check this here, it's April 14th. So we're just under or just over a month left in the regular season. I think all you could ask for when they've been hovering around 500 pretty much all season long, when there have been a lot of questions about the team, there's been a lot of, damn, Anthony Davis playing a lot of games. So was LeBron and Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell. And they're still struggling. I think to just kind of sit here and to say, all right, you got about 30 days left. Let's see what the Lakers can come up with. Some teams are going to lose. Some teams are going to struggle. I think if you look at the rest of the Lakers schedule as well, it's getting a little bit easier. And they've had some breaks along the way. They're going to face the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday. That's going to be a tough game. But now all of a sudden that game against the Golden State Warriors, I know Steph Curry is getting reevaluated tomorrow. Steph may not be playing in that game. So, at least from my perspective, the things that I've paid most attention to is, can they just put themselves back in the mix? And if you'd asked me a week ago where I thought the Lakers were going to be, I'd have told you that I think they're going to be in the number 10 spot, and that's just where I felt they would eventually end up. But with some of the different circumstances that happened, a couple of W's, kind of getting rid of some of those games that you felt like were going to be headaches or issues, and then the Steph Curry news is obviously the big news, so we'll find out what happens tomorrow. They now got a chance to kind of fall out of that mix. The past week alone, Lakers beat Oklahoma City. The loss to the Sacramento Kings was one of the most frustrating and worst losses that I've watched all season. Then they come back and they, behind D'Angelo Russell, beat the Milwaukee Bucks, and he drops 44 points, and Lakers find a way to walk away with a one-point win. And then yesterday, number three team in the Western Conference, Minnesota. But they didn't have Cat. They didn't have Rudy Gobert. Lakers were supposed to win that game. So AD turns 31 years old today. By the way, if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. I'm going to try to take some calls. We're also live right now on YouTube, so I'll try to read off some of those comments as well. You can watch the show. You could listen to the show. Whatever you prefer, we got you covered on both sides of it. Anthony Davis turns 31 today. I was looking at some of his stats when Travis and I were doing our show this morning. What's crazy about Anthony Davis, and I know we're going to look at how insane yesterday's game was, and it was. He had 27 points, 25 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 steals, and 3 blocks. That's insane. It's actually insane enough that it's never been done in NBA history. First player since steals has been tracked in 1973-1974 season with 25 points and 6-plus steals in one game. So it's insane what he did, right? First player since Shaq in 2004 to have 25-plus rebounds and 25-plus points. So if Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns were there, it probably doesn't happen, but who cares? It's an incredible stat. AD had an incredible game. And as he turns 31 today, we were kind of throwing the question out there. It's like, how do we feel about Anthony Davis? How do we feel about his positioning, his situation with the Lakers? his availability this year. Is that confidence level, has it changed to where in the past we're like, oh man, Anthony Davis is going to be the guy, but the guy can't play more than, you know, 50, 55 games in a year. Are we sure this is the dude? He's on track here to easily pass 70 games this season. Easily get past 70 games this year. If he gets it, I'll just give everybody kind of an idea here. Since he's been a Los Angeles Laker, this was back in the 2019-2020 season, he's played 62 games, which was actually a lot because if you guys remember, I think that was a 72-game season. They reduced some of the games because of COVID. Maybe it wasn't 72, but it was around that mark. But showing 62 in his first year, 36 in his second year, that was at a 72. It was a quick turnaround, so they reduced the amount of regular season games. Then 40, then 56. The guy has basically been playing about half of the games or a little bit more than half of the games. 56 last year was actually one of his better years. He was healthy for the most part. He went down with an injury, I want to say in February, and then after that, or he came back in February, and after that was basically there the rest of the season. AD's available now. Now, I'm the first one to complain about Anthony Davis at times. I don't like the way AD has played. Some of their losses they've had of late, they've lost to specific bigs that I thought outplayed Anthony Davis. Yusuf Nurkic did it for the Phoenix Suns. Who else did it? Nikola Jokic did it a week and a half ago or so. And then who else? It was Domantas Sabonis did it last Wednesday. He outplayed the Lakers or outplayed Anthony Davis and the Lakers. But nobody's questioned if Anthony Davis is a complete baller. Nobody's questioned the fact that Anthony Davis is, you know, obviously one of the elite big men in the NBA. But there's even him, he's got areas that he's got to improve. Or you're going to get, you know, pundits out there that are calling out Anthony Davis saying, you're too good to allow this player to outplay you when the Lakers desperately need a win. With that being said, 31 years old, I think this year you got to feel so encouraged about the future of Anthony Davis as a Los Angeles Laker. I know in this league, Joel Embiid's a great player. He goes down with an injury. That's it. Philly's done, and Embiid has had a lot of injuries in his career. I do understand that injuries are a part of the game, but, man, there eventually is going to be life after LeBron James. And I think the question was always around Anthony Davis. Do you feel confident that AD can be the guy that, not, he doesn't have to be the best player on the team, but let's put it this way. It's got to be him and another guy that are toe-to-toe and going back and forth of who's the best player on this team. Obviously, every team that's championship quality needs great players around them. Every star needs great players around him. But you got to feel a lot more comfortable about the AD situation than I think in the past. And like I said, a lot of that has to just do with his availability. That's a big reason why. All right, Valvoline Instant Oil Change is a proud partner here of Lakers Talk. Go rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. They'll take care of your car. They'll service everything. Don't procrastinate. Go get the job done over there. Okay, let's do a few things here when we come back. I want to read a couple of tweets here, a couple comments on YouTube that I'm going to look at as well. And it's an interesting weekend, right? You had Anthony Davis have the monster night last night. But on Friday night, it was D'Angelo Russell. And, you know, one of the things that's unfortunate is when one player has a monster night, but it's on a Friday, it gets buried on Saturday. So I do want to go back, or over the weekend, I do want to go back and talk about not what D'Lo did on Friday night, but what D'Lo has done really for the last couple of months. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. If you want to call in, 877-710-ESPN, Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we got Om Yongmasook coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to talk a little Lakers and NBA with him. Let me squeeze in a quick call here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Let's go to Eddie in L.A. Eddie, what's going on, bud? You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, Sweet. Now, if you had told me after six games that LeBron and AD would be healthy and both playing at all-NBA level, and D'Lo was probably outplaying his contract, and Reeves has been solid, I would have told you, I would have said, man, the Lakers, they're in the top three in the Western Conference easily. But they're not because, for one thing, injuries, and two, a lack of defense, and three, no bench. And it has been inconsistent the whole season. You know, win some, lose some. Now they're in the ninth seed, and now you have to start beating these teams in front of you, like Sacramento, or behind you, like Golden State. Or watch your legal pass and watch these other teams like Dallas and Phoenix and hope some of these other teams can get you some help and, you know, get as far as you can get, you know. But I just blame that on him, really. You know, I mean, you can't blame the injuries on him. But as far as the defense, the other thing, I think it's on him.
Eddie, I appreciate you calling in. Okay, a couple things here. There's a lot of reasons why they're, you know, like you said, they're in ninth place. And the worst position you want to be in, I've heard Darvin Ham talk about it a lot, the worst position you want to be in is where you need help. You need some help from other teams. Well, today, Lakers didn't get help. And again, this is not the spot that you want to be in. Phoenix went to Cleveland and got a W. That's big for them. They stay now three games over the Lakers in the loss column. Dallas went to Chicago, blew them out, 35, something along those lines. They won by, and a two-game cushion in the loss column, plus the tiebreaker, and then the Warriors got a win tonight as well. So Warriors still behind the Lakers in the standings, but they inch a little bit closer. I think what you said about the Lakers bench, I don't disagree there. Lakers got no bench. They're, literally, the bench does not exist. I was a big fan of Spencer Dinwiddie coming to the Lakers, but the reality is he has not been that good for the Lakers so far. Did have a big block, which I'm going to get into in a second, when the Lakers beat the Bucks. But the last thing that you want to do is kind of depend on other teams. At least I will kind of give you, I'll give the Lakers the benefit of the doubt on this. They put themselves back in the mix, and part of that is because of games like Friday night. So I want to go back a couple nights ago. I just gave AD a lot of credit for what he was able to do yesterday. I have talked about in the past, I know I've mentioned this, the, I guess you could just look at it. D'Angelo Russell has gone through a stretch here where, and I want to go back all the way back to December on this, because D'Angelo Russell has gone through a stretch where there was a point that I thought, just myself, this is my own personal thoughts, I'm like, damn, this is a really bad situation for D'Angelo Russell. He gets his contract with the Lakers, and we get to a point where the first thing people think about is, cool, so D'Lo got a contract. So is he going to get traded? Who's he going to get traded for? Is he going to get traded for Zach LaVine? Is he going to get traded for DeJounte Murray? There was other names that were popping up. Bruce Brown. I mean, just kind of whatever names were coming up. There were names coming up, and it would always lent back to D'Angelo Russell. And then there comes a point where the Lakers decide, and one of the points Eddie made about the Lakers not playing good enough defense, there was a point where Darvin Ham decides, I want to take this team and I want to have an identity. And I want my identity to be on the defensive side, because last year the Lakers' identity was on the defensive side. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to take D'Angelo Russell out of the starting lineup and I'm going to bring him in off the bench. When that happened, I thought it was probably one of the lowest of lows that D'Lo can have as part of his time with the Lakers. This second chance, I guess you want to call it, the second opportunity. There was already not enough faith in him because he wasn't able to perform in the playoffs, and now all of a sudden he's not shooting well. He's getting pulled from the starting lineup in my head, I'm saying to myself, I don't know if D'Lo is going to be able to recover from this. And if he does get traded, he better grab that player option that he has, because I don't think anybody's going to give him, you know, a contract where he's making $17, $18 million a year. Fast forward to where we are today. Think about everything that he's done up to this point. I don't think anybody had faith D'Lo was going to turn things around and certainly change them to this tone. I don't think anybody thought that D'Angelo Russell started in a game January 13th. It was against the Utah Jazz. LeBron didn't play in that game. Lakers were on the road in Utah, and D'Angelo dropped 39. And I was like, wow, that's a really impressive game. However, it doesn't mean anything. Lakers lost. You know, they weren't going to beat the Utah Jazz. It's because LeBron wasn't there. We made all our excuses. Since that game on January 13th, and we're about to, you know, we're a couple days away. By the time Lakers play their next game, it will be exactly 2 months since D'Angelo Russell balled out in that game against the Utah Jazz. He's been great for 2 months. The game they played on Friday night against Milwaukee was the best game that I've ever seen D'Angelo Russell play. And it wasn't even close. It's the best game that I've seen him play. How could it not be? He had 44 points. It wasn't in a losing effort. He hit Rui Hachimura to bring the Lakers within three. He found him. He got the assist. He hit the bucket on Damian Lillard and one to pull the Lakers to win one, to within one. He hit the bucket on Dame Lillard to give the Lakers the lead. It's the best game that I've ever seen him play. And again, the Lakers did it without LeBron. He dropped 44-9. I was telling Travis this morning, I'm like, look, this isn't a story about what he's done with, it's one of the best stories in the NBA of a player that for a second there you thought, I don't know what this guy is going to be. I don't know what his future is with his team. And now here he is, integral part of what the Lakers are doing. So AD made it happen yesterday. Obviously, D'Angelo Russell made it happen on Friday. And now the Lakers got to roll up their sleeves, and they got to start looking at some of their opponents this week. They got two teams, Sacramento and Golden State, that you know are going to be a battle. One of those games on the road coming up on Wednesday, and then Saturday's games here at Crypto. And this is the only way the Lakers can continue to move up the standings. Okay, I mentioned a little bit earlier, Lakers Talk is brought to you by Valvoline. Go rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Big shout-out to Valvoline for being a proud partner of Lakers Talk now for a number of years. Myung Masook, who covers the NBA for ESPN, he's coming up next. We'll talk some Lakers with him. I also want to talk about the Western Conference with him. Seems like both of these leagues, the West and the East, but specifically the West, they're all over the place. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Big game for the Lakers. Only two games this week, but both of them big. Sacramento in Sacramento coming up on Wednesday, and then on Saturday, Lakers host the Golden State Warriors. Got another four-game homestand before they go on the road for six games. Want to welcome in Myung Masook, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Always appreciate you coming on, brother. What we got? I don't even know where to start here. I got 50 Laker questions. 75 questions about the Western Conference, but thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, man. Always excited to talk about L.A. basketball as much as I can.
Okay, let's do this. Let's start with the Lake Show, of course. What does this mean to you? They are 11-5 since February 1st, and some of those wins are, you know, against teams that can clearly represent the East and the West, or just be in the mix. And not all win is created equal. The win against Minnesota yesterday, no Karl Anthony Towns, no Rudy Gobert. But the win against Milwaukee comes without LeBron. And this team, I think it's safe to say, is a little bit all over the place. But what do you make of this stretch since February 1st for the Lakers?
Yeah, I think they won 12 of the last 17 games. Does that sound right? Wins, they have impressive wins at Boston. I think that, you know, they beat the Clippers. Their only losses, they've lost twice to Denver, which, you know, Everybody loses to Denver. Denver's defending champs. And, you know, to go ahead and beat Oklahoma City, to beat Milwaukee and beat Minnesota, yes, did they catch a little break with no Carl Anthony Towns? Absolutely. But these are games that, you know, they're putting themselves in position now in a stacked and highly competitive Western Conference that, I mean, I started entertaining the possibility, maybe I shouldn't speak this into existence, but could we potentially get the Lakers to six, maybe? And what if the Clippers get to three? Could we see little Clippers-Lakers, you know, in the playoffs? That would be amazing. You know, but I think for the Lakers, these wins, you got to stack them up, because if you look at their schedule coming up, it's going to get brutal. I mean, they have that six-game road swing where they head out toward, well, I guess it's a mixture of East Coast and other cities. But really, they finished their season, I believe it's like eight of their last 11 games are on the road.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to stack these games up now. You have to win these games. So I think that's what they're doing. I mean, the road trip games, obviously, in that previous road trip when they were at Boston, that game, you know, you probably didn't expect them to win going in. They won it. They won at New York, and of course, Charlotte, you have to handle your business. And so I think what they've been doing is they've been stacking up these wins now, and now you look at Sacramento is a pretty pivotal game, very tough place to play at. But then they get Golden State at home. They got to win that game. They got to win Atlanta. They got to win Philadelphia with no Embiid. And then I think Indiana comes in, and, you know, obviously that's a West Coast trip for Indiana, so it's a tough trip. You got to take advantage of that. And then you hit the road. So, like, you know, you got to stack up all these wins before you hit the road, because it's only going to get a lot more competitive as we get down the end of the race here in the Western Conference. I mean, if you look at the Clippers side of things, the Clippers have a brutal schedule. I mean, they play 17 games in 31 days this month, and then their April is jam-packed. They got a bunch of, like, five games and seven nights. They got a bunch of back-to-backs. So who knows? Even the Clippers could slip in these standings. And, you know, Phoenix is always one injury away from maybe slipping down the standings as well, because they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. So, I mean, I think for the Lakers, you just keep racking up the wins, and you got to keep playing better and better. That's the whole thing, and I think LeBron would tell you that. You want to play your best basketball heading into the playoffs.
Well, how do you think the rest of the league feels about the Lakers, specifically the Western Conference? Because I'm going to read you a quote here, and I think I've heard LeBron say something similar to this, and AD said, we can line up against anyone and lose. We can line up against anyone and win. And that's kind of been the Lakers. And how do you feel with some of your interactions with other players or executives? Do you feel like there's a lot of teams that look at the Lakers and, all right, I have enough familiarity with what certain players on this franchise have done before. I have enough familiarity to know that that's LeBron, that's Anthony Davis. But at the same time, they're also a team that at times seem very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, in a seven-game series, you probably look at it like, okay, LeBron's older, right? LeBron is still playing great, but he's older. And Anthony Davis, well, you know, if he's playing at 27 points and 25 rebound level and seven steals, you don't want to face that Anthony Davis. So I come on the show and I talk with you a lot of times, and I always say, to me, you know what you're getting with LeBron, even at this age. The key is Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis plays at a top five level, and I'm not saying he's going to be able to produce 27 and 25 every night, but certainly he can be better than 14 and 11. And I think, like, if you get that Anthony Davis that's at probably 30 points and 15 rebounds, that's a problem for teams in the playoffs. And he's a tough matchup for them. And then you have D'Angelo Russell, who's playing terrific. Now, here's the thing. As good as D'Angelo Russell's been this month to me, he's got to prove it in the playoffs. Because what I remember the most is him kind of disappearing against the Denver Nuggets. And so I need to see D'Angelo Russell do that. Could they build his confidence up heading into the postseason where he can? Yes, if he can continue playing this way. Another thing I'd also like to see is maybe D'Angelo Russell have the ball in his hands and play make a little bit more so that he can do it in the playoffs. Because you can't keep the ball in LeBron's hands all the time. Teams will start to try to take that away from him, you're going to need another playmaker, whether it be Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell. And so what D'Angelo Russell is doing now is great, and hopefully that builds his confidence going into the playoffs. He can be that other factor. There needs to be one other player outside of those two big guys to really help them, whether it be Austin Reeves or D'Angelo Russell in the playoffs, because teams are going to try and take away the other guys. I mean, eventually Anthony Davis is going to have to deal with a Nikola Jokic, and so his hands will be full. And then LeBron is going to try to do everything that he can, but he's going to need some help too. But to go back to the very first point, if Anthony Davis plays like a dominant top three, top five guy, I don't want to face them in the playoffs. And, I mean, I've always said this with the Denver Nuggets. Like, how do you stop Jokic, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks about, do you double-team him or do you play him single up? The best way to stop Nikola Jokic, in my mind, is to get him in foul trouble. And there's only a few handful of players that can get Nikola Jokic in foul trouble. Anthony Davis is one of them.
Om Yongwasuk, who covers the NBA for ESPN, taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk. Om, you know, you mentioned D'Angelo Russell there, and it's interesting that you put it that way because D'Lo has been, I kind of went through where he was back in December, and all of a sudden now he's coming off the bench for the Lakers and all the trade rumors, and every time a trade is mentioned, it's like, yeah, throw D'Lo in the deal. For him, for really the last couple of months to kind of change things around the way he has, and I get the hesitation about the playoffs. I don't blame you at all, but I didn't think that he had this in his game. He's had a handful of games now for the Lakers where he's led them in scoring. He's had a handful of games where he's led them in assists. Over these last couple of months, what do you think has been, what have you noticed just what has kind of changed for him, and what gives you confidence that that continues in the playoffs, or maybe the other side of it? No, you're going to have your hesitation, and you're going to certainly think twice about giving him the benefit of the doubt once the postseason comes.
I mean, look, I get it. His tear kind of started before the trade deadline, but really for a lot of players, you start to see guys play a little bit better right after the trade deadline, just because you always have to factor in, and I think fans sometimes forget about this, and even sometimes reporters, that when you're approaching the trade deadline, that is an anxiety-filled time for a lot of players, especially when you're playing on a LeBron James team. Look at just the Laker rosters we've seen since LeBron has been a Laker and what those role players have gone through. I mean, I'll never forget seeing that Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso group around LeBron James, and, you know, hearing that chant of LeBron's going to trade you in Indiana. These are things that those guys have to go through, and that mentally those things affect you as you lead up to the trade deadline. I think, you know, D'Angelo Russell, something must have clicked in him where he just basically either got motivated by all the trade rumors, or he started to get just really comfortable. Maybe he got word that he wasn't going to be traded from his closest people, things like that. I mean, listen, I did this piece talking to numerous players right before the trade deadline of what it's like to be traded at the midseason trade, how your lives are turned upside down. Almost all of the guys that I talked to that were traded at the trade deadline, like literally like minutes before the deadline, were literally telling me stories that my agent would call me 15 Oof. Minutes before the trade deadline saying, you're safe, you're good to go, you're wow. not being traded. And then they would be traded like 5 minutes before it. So you never know what to believe. You know what I'm saying? Like, your agent probably is giving you credible information at that time, you know what I mean? But things change. And so once you get past that trade deadline, you can relax, you can breathe, you can play better. And I think when you play better, especially when you're playing on a team with LeBron James, you probably feel an immense amount of pressure to really have to produce the way he wants you to and needs you to. And I think what you've seen, like I never take for granted when I see LeBron James tap D'Angelo Russell in the head after he hits some ridiculous shot and really kind of pumps him up after, you know, going into a timeout or going to the huddle. I think those are all big things for somebody like D'Angelo Russell, because when LeBron James shows you that, now all of a sudden your confidence is going a little more sky high. Again, this is the regular season. We'll need to see him do it in the playoffs, especially against a team like Denver. But for now, I think that's what you're seeing is probably a guy that's coming into his own. Maybe it might have taken him time. This is always the D'Angelo Russell. We knew he was capable of doing all of these things. He has that silky smooth game, that effortless type of game where he can score a lot of points. But now it's all coming together, and who knows why he does that. For some players, sometimes it comes a little bit later in their careers, but it's pretty fun to watch for D'Angelo Russell.
Let me play out a scenario that, listen, it's going to sound like a doomsday, but it can definitely happen. This is just the Western Conference. Let's say the Lakers got in the play-in tournament and weren't able to get out. They ended up a number 9 seed, which is where they're sitting right now, and Dallas and Sacramento, one of those teams eliminated them, or maybe even it's Golden State. Just the whole point of it is, let's say they were not able to get out of the play-in tournament. What do you think happens in the offseason?
You know what? Short of them getting to the NBA Finals, I think even if they were to get to the Western Conference Finals, and this is just me speculating, but sure. I feel like the Lakers are always going to look to make a significant change to try to, you know, better themselves to really be a title contender. You have to. And the Western Conference is always going to be an arms race, right? If you just look in your own city, you know, the other team on the other side has – for future Hall of Famers, you know what I mean? So you're always trying to stack talent, and we know that the Lakers have that capability where they're going to get more first-round picks, and maybe the salary cap will be a little bit more amenable to trying to get another star and chase that other star. So if they lose, like, in the play-in, obviously that's just going to basically put more pressure on them to go get this other star and get more help for LeBron, because when you have a player like LeBron and you have a window that is closing – probably many thought would have closed earlier than this, but it's still open. You have to do everything you can to stack the team around him and Anthony Davis for as long as you can to keep this window going. So I think even if they make it and lose second round, you know, or even if they make it to the Western Conference Finals, because ultimately they still want to win a championship. So if you make it to the Western Conference and Finals and lose, and let's say you get swept again, you still are going to want to make a significant change. So I don't think it matters to me if they get bounced in the play-in. I mean, obviously, it would still be a disappointment, right? It'll be a disappointment if they lose in the play-in, but it'd still be a disappointment if they lose in the Western Conference Finals, because even though many would be like, oh, that was a successful season, it was last year, right, for them to make it to the Western Conference Finals, but ultimately, LeBron James is only around to do one thing, to win another championship.
Oma, just looking at the rest of the Western Conference, just a couple quick questions there, and we'll let you go. We all kind of just assume that the Denver Nuggets are the best team in the West. We have reason to assume that could very well be the best team in the NBA. Somebody might say Boston Nuggets. Okay, we'll leave that alone. After Denver, you look at the Western Conference. How would you kind of figure to be – who would be, you think, kind of stand as – the second or third best team in the West? And I think you can make a case for so many different teams, but I'm just curious to see your view of it.
Well, a lot of people were going to say it was the Clippers probably about, I would say, a month ago, because the Clippers were on fire at that point. But I think since then we've seen that they've shown a little bit of an Achilles heel against teams that are younger, more athletic, long, can protect the paint type of defensive teams. I think for like the Clippers and for many of the teams in the Western Conference, it's going to come down to matchups in this playoffs. Like, the Clippers don't match up particularly well with certain teams. Like, if they were to face New Orleans in the first round, like in a 4 or 5 matchup, New Orleans gives them trouble. Like, that's a team that would be a difficult series for the Clippers. Minnesota, now with Karl Anthony Towns, we don't know when he's coming back. That is a big uncertainty for them. I mean, Anthony Edwards is a handful. Rudy Gobert does what he does great. And then they have a bunch of defenders, and they're going to be a tough out, but they're not as tough now without Karl Anthony Towns. Oklahoma City, to me, is a very good team. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP candidate. But the one thing that you would say about that team, which I think other teams might welcome if they face them, certainly a team like the Lakers or the Clippers would say, we have more experience than that.
Sure.
Team. And we can take advantage of those younger kids because they've never been to this point before. And that's something that we have the edge over. All veteran teams feel that. Like, the Clippers are like, we haven't been playing our best basketball. But you know what? All we need to do is play great the week or two heading into the playoffs. And we like our chances against anybody because we have guys who know what it takes to win. And we have veteran leadership. So that's what I think they'll all feel that edge over Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City is very good. To answer your question after Denver, I would probably say, as of right now, probably the second best team is Oklahoma City, but there's a big question mark surrounding them with that.
That's what's going to make the playoffs so fascinating and interesting, and we're about a month away from getting through this regular season. So, Om, thank you very much for the time, buddy. I appreciate your insight.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, that is Om Young-Masuk, who covers the NBA for ESPN. We come back, got some final thoughts. I do want to play a clip here from Shams Charania, who's given an update on Gabe Vincent. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Thank you again to Om Young-Masuk, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Fantastic content always from Om. I want to spend a little time here talking a little bit about the upcoming week and then also some scores around the NBA. But before we do so, Run It Back, which is part of FanDuel TV. Shams Charania was on there, and he gave some updates on – take a listen here, because there's an update on Gabe Vincent, and there's an update on Jared Vanderbilt. Take a quick listen here.
Gabe Vincent finally to the point where he's progressing to conditioning and ramping up on the floor. His window, I'm told, to potentially return begins next week. And this is a guy that's only played 5 games in the month of December, last played December 20th. And they're hopeful that there's no setback. That's always been the thing here with Gabe Vincent's rehab. It was before his knee surgery, and then after he underwent that arthroscopic knee surgery, it's been just a process of a ramp up, getting him on the court pain-free, making sure he's able to cut, move, play with contact. But now he's finally at the point where it's really just about ramping up, getting into basketball conditioning before he returns. So barring a setback, look for his window to potentially return to start next week. Jared Vanderbilt, that's another player. He was on the bench, no boot anymore. He's got that midfoot sprain. He hasn't played since February 1. I'm told over the next week or two, they're hopeful that he also progresses potentially to getting back on the floor. So that's two major rotational players. Vanderbilt, we know how impactful he is defensively, really on both ends of the floor. He's really a glue piece for this team. We'll see if he gets back in the starting lineup or how Darvin Ham handles that. But both of these players should provide some level of a boost to the Lakers.
All right, so one of the things that I don't think it's great to depend on is depend on guys, as example, Gabe Vincent, who's only played 5 games this year, and also Jared Vanderbilt in and out of the lineup. But I think Jared Vanderbilt, they have to have, and it would be interesting timing here as we have about a month left before the regular season's done. Just to get those guys, if they're back within the next couple of weeks, to give them a couple weeks of conditioning and just to have them as an option. I mentioned this before, I'll mention again, Lakers don't have a bench, so the fact that you can potentially get some depth, it's not the perfect timing, but just to have potential, hey, maybe we could use this guy, or maybe if the Lakers are able to get into the playoffs and as they progress, those guys get further and further along and are more and more comfortable, I'd rather have them than not have them, but I also don't think it's obviously fair to depend on those two players just because of the injuries that they've had all year. Okay, what do the Lakers got the rest of the week? So this one's only 2 games, so I mentioned you got a chance tomorrow or on Wednesday taking on the Kings. Can they make that game a little personal? Why do I feel like every time the Sacramento Kings play the Lakers, it's personal to them? And I feel like the Lakers need one of those personal matchups against the Kings. It's in Sacramento. The place is going to be rocking. Their fans are going to be excited. They're very average over their last 10 games or so are the Kings, but they seem to always get up for the Lakers. Can AD try to return the favor on DeMontis Sabonis? Can we get a little bit of that? If not, that means the Kings sweep the Lakers. They go 4-0 against the Lakers this season. That would obviously clearly be frustrating. Couple games to just keep in mind for tomorrow. Tonight didn't go the Lakers' way. Kings play the Bucks tomorrow. So Kings are going to be on a second of a back-to-back by the time they play the Lakers on Wednesday, so something else to keep in mind there. All right, that's all we got. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. A quick shout-out here. Thank you to Michael Funches, Mario Ruiz, DeAndre Hawkins, and Graham Metzger. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. LA, as always, have a great rest of your night.